Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, January the 11th. A little chilly today. I'm not going to say really cold, but, you know, cold enough I get to put on a coat. And it was raining a little bit today as well. So you had that combination of a cloudy day, rain, a little chill. I guess it was in the 40s. So, you know, not real bad, but certainly you had to cover yourself, especially from that rain. I mean, that's an easy way, very easy way of getting yourself a cold if you're out there with a wet hair. For me, at least, it's an easy way of getting a cold. Well, today we're going to do a little talking about the border wall funding. It just seems to be going on. Is President Trump going to declare an emergency? Doesn't look likely at the moment, but you never know. You never know. Venezuela, they had an inauguration down in Venezuela, and amazing, Maduro is back, but he's really isolated. You know, when only Cuba and North Korea and maybe a couple of other countries go to your inauguration, you don't have a lot of friends, to say the least. And down in Brazil, President Bolsonaro continues to live up to expectations, as they like to say. But I do want to begin. I want to begin by going back 30 years ago. Today we remember President Reagan's farewell address in 1989 on this day. You know, it's customary, at least it's been recently. I don't know how far back it goes, but certainly in the age of television and radio, it's customary for the president to give a farewell speech. It usually happens with a two-term president, but I believe President Bush, the first President Bush, had one. President Carter had one as well. So, you know, it's becoming more and more almost an expected thing that you have a farewell address. And on this day in 1989, President Reagan gave his farewell address. And it was actually fabulous, for those of us who remember it. It was fabulous because it was Reagan all the way. It was Reagan all the way. You know, farewell addresses are usually, they're not that important, honestly. There have been a couple of very significant ones, or at least historians regard them as consequential. The first one by President Washington is remembered because he kind of, he warned the nation about, for example, partisanship. He said, hey, let's not get too partisan here. Let's not hate each other too much. And, of course, President Washington at the time understood that once he left office that there was going to be, because he saw it, he saw them happening, there were going to be parties. There were going to be, one clash against the other. And that's exactly what happened between number two, John Adams, and number three, Thomas Jefferson. That's more or less where our two parties come from. And President Washington saw that, and he warned the nation about not getting too partisan in our politics. He also warned us about getting involved in other countries' affairs. And the line that he used in his address was foreign entanglements. Foreign entanglements. I love that. That line, but he said basically translates to, hey, don't get too involved in other countries. Don't do that. Now, of course, that was much easier to say in 1797 when President Washington said goodbye than it would be today, because the United States is a superpower. It's a little different time, you might want to say. But again, that was a very famous one, that farewell address. Is one that historians will refer to a lot, maybe because it was the first one, maybe because it was George Washington, who, of course, continues to be one of the great figures, if not the greatest, in American history. The next big one that everybody always points up is President Eisenhower in 1961, where he went to the nation and gave a very thoughtful speech. Eisenhower was really a very intelligent man. He wrote very well. And, of course, at that time, you could just tell they were reading the speech. So you didn't have the teleprompter and all that stuff they have now. But in that speech, he used the famous line about the military-industrial complex. And that was really misunderstood. A lot of people thought he was talking against the military. or he was talking about having a big military, which is not true. That's not what he was talking about. What he was really talking about was corruption, or the idea that you would have basically this gigantic relationship between the government and the people who make military weapons and so on, and that there was an opportunity there for corruption. That's kind of what he was talking about. And he was exactly right. I mean, the fact is that, you know, when you have a lot of money to spend and you have companies that make whatever the government wants you to make, there's always the opportunity there in that situation for corruption. Now, President Reagan's farewell address was a little bit different because he spoke about the successes of his eight years. He also, you know, he regretted a few things. I remember him saying that, look, he really regretted the deficit. And so, you know, he spoke frankly about what he did well and some of the shortcomings that he wishes he could have done better. But in the end, you know, he basically, he didn't take all the credit. He says, you know, look, I thank you for calling it the Reagan Revolution, but it was really you, the people, who made it all happen. And I think that's what makes that speech so amazing, that he really turned it around and said, you, the American people, you're the reason that the country's great, not me. I just happened to be the guy who was flying the plane at the time. And of course, you know, of course Reagan was great. I mean, we still regard him as a great president. But just his tone in that speech, it was so Reagan. It was so much like Reagan to speak that night that it touched me a great deal. Of course, you know, I was part of that generation that grew up with Reagan. You know, Reagan was the guy who basically directed me toward the conservative movement. I mean, I always had those feelings, and I always had those thoughts that I was a conservative, but I didn't know it was conservatism. I didn't really know what it was. I just know that I felt this way, and it was through Reagan that I was directed into the Republican Party and the conservative ideas that he represented. So Ronald Reagan, if you have a chance, check out the speech. It's available on YouTube or probably at the Reagan Foundation page. It's not a very long speech, I think 10 or 15 minutes or so, but it is really a worthwhile speech because it'll make you so proud of the country and you're going to feel so good about Reagan. Reagan was such an inspirational man, such an inspirational figure. Now, of course, he could speak, and nobody delivered a speech. Nobody did it better than Reagan. I mean, all those years as a radio announcer and actor, obviously, you know, you could hear how he was a professional in every way when he delivered. But he also, he wasn't just reading. He felt what he was reading. He felt what he was saying. And I think that's what even gave it more credibility. I mean, you can be a great actor. You can be a great user of the teleprompter. But with Reagan, you could see that he was very good at it. But you could also feel that he felt 100% what he was saying. So we remember today Ronald Reagan's farewell address from this day in 1989, 30 years ago today. My gosh, where has the time flown? Where has it gone? I don't know, but it's flown by. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpiz. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' schedule on the show information. Click on that, and it'll take you to his schedule. You'll have a chance to listen to him as you get around town and go out to eat and enjoy a nice meal. And some of the places that he plays at also have dancing later in the evening. So not only can you eat a nice meal, but you can dance a little bit. Not bad for a Saturday night. Have a nice meal and go out and dance to a little bit of music. Well, President Trump right now, he's wondering whether to do the national emergency or whether just to continue working with Congress. It's a tough call. It's a tough call because if he goes the emergency route, you know what's going to happen. The next day they're going to file a whatever they file in one of the San Francisco courts, And then some judge will give the opinion that the Democrats want, and then it'll be thrown into the courts. And then next thing you know, this thing is going to be tied up in the courts, and who knows when it gets to the Supreme Court. I mean, the president has a lot of authority to declare an emergency. That's clear. But I think at this point, I think it may be better for him to keep things the way they are for a few more days, because I actually think that the Democrats are going to crack on this, and they're going to crack because Nancy Pelosi has a very interesting problem in the House. So the Democrats, I should say, have a very interesting problem in the House. They have what I like to call an 80-20 problem. 80% of the Democrats in the House, look, they don't want anything to do with Trump. They just want to hang him. Basically, that's it. They just want to destroy him. They want to hang him, and they don't want to negotiate. They don't want to do any business with him. They don't even recognize him as a legitimate president. Then you have the other 20%, which I believe is primarily made up of these new representatives who were elected in some of these more centrist districts. Many of them were elected by very small margins. They're going to have to face re-election in 2020, and it's probably going to be very competitive for most of them. This is a new group that Nancy Pelosi has to keep happy too, and I think the cracks are going to start coming from this group. And Nancy Pelosi cannot be the majority, cannot be the speaker, or no Democrat will be the speaker after the next election if they lose this 20%. And they don't have to lose all of them. I mean, they only have a majority in the House of like 17 or 18. So it wouldn't take that big of a change for the Democrats to lose the majority and for the Republicans to pick up the majority. So I think this is what the president ought to do. He ought to stand back for a few days and let's see what happens on the Democrat side. I think you'll start seeing some cracks on the Democrat side because, look, there's a lot of these members of Congress, and we've already seen a couple of them on TV who are already hearing it from their constituents who are saying, what do you mean you're against border security? What do you mean you're against the wall? So I think you're going to see some cracks on the other side, and they'll probably start pretty soon. So, Mr. President, hold off on the emergency. Just wait a few more days. I think that we can get probably movement from the other side. Well, down in Venezuela, Maduro was inaugurated again, and it was not a very pretty situation because a lot of countries have simply did not send any representation, only Cuba, North Korea, and some other dictatorship from Africa sent representation. But it was a very lonely place when Mr. Maduro was inaugurated because I think in the minds of most Venezuelans, and in my mind as well, he's not a legitimate president. That was not an honest election that happened in Venezuela. So I just don't see any happy ending down there. I know I've said that before, but I just don't see any happy ending in Venezuela. I think it's going to get very, very nasty. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a military coup against Maduro or some kind of an overthrow of some type, because it has really gotten totally out of control. Down in Brazil, you know, Bolsonaro, the new president of Brazil, made a bunch of promises, and he kept one of them today. He pulled Brazil out of that UN migration accord or whatever it was. Now, it was an non-binding resolution, like the Paris Climate Accords. These are non-binding, so people sign them, but yeah, there's no casualty if you don't follow the rules, as is the case with the Paris Climate Change Accords. I mean, most of the countries are not even living up to it. But this is an important promise by Mr. Bolsonaro, and he wants Brazil to be great again. That's my word, but that's really what it is. He wants to stop a lot of the immigration, and he wants to, you know, he feels very strongly that immigration is being taken advantage of, and I think he's exactly right about that. So congratulations to Mr. Bolsonaro for keeping a promise. By the way, if you get a chance on Saturday or Sunday night, they're going to show that show on Fox Nation, which is that new pay channel associated with Fox News. They're going to show that program about Dan Rather in the CBS story of a few years ago about President Bush and the military service. The story that blew up in their faces, that's what they're going to be talking about. I have a post, by the way, about this over at the American Thinker this morning. You may want to check it out. But that was really the story, what I wrote in my American Thinker piece today, is that was the story that got me into blogging, because I was so angry at CBS that I wanted to do something about it, and that's when I started blogging and writing on my blog and all of that. Well, thank you for listening, folks. Have a wonderful weekend. Go Cowboys. They're playing the Rams on Saturday night. Go Cowboys. Good night, everybody.